It's time for Over There with Marilla Rostroffer. Marilla's our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She is in Zurich. She's in Switzerland, but not for long, I believe. Hello, is that true? How are you?
Hi, Jill. Yes, it is very true. I'm fine. Thank you so much. Yes, as we mentioned that already last week, the restrictions in Europe are loosing up, and it's going to be possible to travel with less worries on one hand, because luckily the numbers are going down in spite of the Delta variant, but also because there is now a COVID certificate for the European Union. Switzerland has a separate one because we do not belong to the European Union. That paper will be accepted now as proof of vaccination. It has to be, though, Pfizer or Moderna or AstraZeneca. Those are the three vaccines that are accepted by the European authorities, and those are the one that allow people to get a certificate that is going to open many doors during the coming summer, not only traveling internationally, but also it will be probably requested for many events like theater plays or concerts or big events of any kind, festivals, etc. What's actually interesting about this certificate is that there is already now the fear of fake certificates, and of course this is, no matter what is the situation, always going to be the case when there is some official papers. Some people make it a point to create a fake one. There will be controls, and I believe that Interpol will also look into that, as this is really an international issue. But I would say that besides those kind of problems, the certificate is going to be extremely useful for traveling in Europe. That was a little update on COVID-19. Now I wanted to talk today about a woman that we talked about last week, Valérie Bacot, because there has been a verdict, and I think it would be interested to come back on that story to see how it has been handled in France. As a small reminder, Valérie Bacot is a woman, a 40 years old woman who in 2016 killed her husband after 2 decades of abuse, of rape, of having been forced to prostitution. The trial was extremely emotional. There has been a lot of questions. She had a lot of supporters. There was this feeling a little bit that while society has been closing eyes and neglecting her for so many years, as her situation was in fact well known by family members, by the authorities, by even police officers that didn't really interfere, there was this feeling this time that there was a need to repair that kind of indifference and that kind of societal mistake. In fact, for the first time during this trial, certain syndromes have been taken into consideration. One should not forget that in France, until now, taking the life of someone was just a plain fact, and there was very little to explain or to excuse such a fact, except in a case of self-defense, which is entirely different. But here the syndrome of Stockholm has been mentioned, the syndrome of wives or women that are beaten up, and all sorts of psychological aspects that were until now not so much a topic. All of this has been taken into consideration, and there was really this feeling that everybody was listening and everybody was trying to really understand what she went through. Including, for example, the judge and the prosecutors, they were understanding the meaning of it, and they were not devaluating the aspects of the torture and the life that she had until now. As a matter of fact, she got 4 years. But with 3 of those years suspended, and considering that she already spent in prison 1 year, basically she walked free out of the tribunal, and that was absolutely an extremely unusual, extraordinary outcome, and really the result of people coming together, even from different sides of the law, and also a result of the extreme support that Valérie Pacaud has gotten during that week. At the end, she said that she was not relieved, but rather emptied mentally and physically. And I think that is really the bottom line of this story, is that while she's not going to spend the rest of her life in prison, there is also no way to ever forget what she went through, what she did for her children. And the recovery, if there is any, will probably take many, many years. I think it's also very important to mention that this trial has shown a difference now in how to look at violence against women. Because exactly this week we have had the new statistics of this violence against women in Europe. And one has to say, because of the lockdowns getting now to an end, this violence has increased. And many people were wondering, how is that possible? Why would that increase when actually there is more freedom? And that's exactly the point. It's this freedom, the fact that all of a sudden women are able to go out of the house again, eventually go to their workplace, is a point of friction, a point of insecurity, and that leads, unfortunately, very often again to violence and ultimately to murder. Just to give an example, In Italy, for example, during the lockdown, there was even a code, a sentence, which was, I would like to order pizza, but instead of calling a pizzeria, those women would call the police station, and that would be a code for the police officers to understand that there was violence and to send some officers to that address. In Spain, a little bit of the same code in the pharmacies during the lockdown, which those were about the only shops open, with groceries shop, there was the sentence of saying, asking for a purple mask. So we really see that this is a topic and a situation that has been existing for decades, for years really. And it's only now that things are getting really serious in how to counter this absolutely outrageous situation, considering the amount of victims every year. To give an example again, in Spain, every 3 days, a woman is killed by her husband or boyfriend. In France, 2021, 56 women have been killed. In 2020, during the same period, 46 have been killed. We see that even in Sweden, the numbers are quite impressive. In Switzerland, every 3 weeks, a woman is killed. Those are not insignificant, and they also means that there is the need for a change of attitude in how men behave, and probably in how we as families also educate our children to basically respect every human being, and that include obviously women. This lack of support for victims, of course, is not only in Europe. This is our situation here, but according to the United Nations, the countries that have similar problems are in Asia, a lot of countries, then in Africa, then in North America, South America, and then in Europe. So one sees that it is European topics are our topics here, but this is definitely not a European situation. This is a worldwide situation, and it is definitely time to tackle this issue and make sure that the future for families, for women, for men, for everybody, look less violent.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.